In the beginning of this week's parasha, we're told, if you look at the first source, Vayomer Hashem el Avram, Lech lecha me'artzecha miladecha mi'beit avicha, that Avram is told to leave his land, his birthplace, the house of his father, el aretz asher areka, and he's told to go to the land that God will tell him about. So, I mean, I don't know how many drashot will be said in shuls all over the world by Shabbat tables about how heroic Avraham was. He left and he came, Israel, and everything's wonderful. But it only lasts for 9 verses. By the time we get to Pasuk Yud, it says, Vayihi ra'av ba'aretz, there was a famine in the land, Vayered Avraham etzrayma, and Avraham went on Yerida. Right? That's the word here. Avraham left the land of Israel. Lagursham ki kaved harav ba'aretz. He went to live there because the famine was very, very great. So some people will understand this within one of the maybe the 10 tests of Avraham. The Ramban is not so nice to Avraham in source number 2 on that Pasuk Yud. He picks on Avraham for a number of things. He says that because, let's read the bottom paragraph. Vida ki Avram Avinu chata chet gadol bishkaga shehivi ishto hatzadeket b'michshol avon b'nei pachadu pen yehergo. That first of all, he says that Avraham performed a great sin inadvertently by putting his wife, the tzadeket, his holy wife, his righteous wife, in such a situation because he was afraid of getting killed. So first of all, the Ramban says, I don't like the way that Avraham behaved. In case you were ever bothered by that question, as the Ramban, I once gave a whole class on that, but not for today. What interests me more, at least for today, is when he continues and he says, V'hayala liftoach b'Hashem. He should have trusted in God. She'atzil otov et ishtov et kol asherlo, that everything he and his wife and everything that he owned would have been saved. Ki yesh belokim koach la'azor l'hatzil. For God has the power and the ability of saving, of helping and saving. Gam yitziyato min ha'aretz, also regarding the leaving of the land, shenitztaveh aleha b'tchila, that Avram was commanded in the very beginning, b'pnei harav, where he left because of the famine, avon asher chata. This is another sin. So here you have one Ramban, and he finds at least 2 sins in Avram's behavior. This sin, as he said, what right did he have to leave the land of Israel? What did God say to him? Go to the land that I'm going to tell you. He gets there. He obviously sees and feels something, realizes it's the right place. He goes, builds a mizbeach, he prays. And then a famine comes, and he leaves. The Ramban said, how did he do this? This was a sin. Follow the continuation of the Ramban. Ki elokim barav yafidenu mimavet. For even in a situation of hunger, God can certainly save him from death. V'al hama'aseh hazeh, because of this behavior of Avraham, nigzar al zaro hagalut pe'eretz mitzrayim biyad paro. Because of this behavior of Avraham, the Jews were destined to go into exile into Egypt in Paro's hand. B'makom mishpat shemar rasha v'chata, and so on. This is really quite remarkable. And regarding the last point, it's not completely clear what he means. One could read it that he means that had Avraham not gone into Galut, there never would have been a Galut. Or you can read that there would have been a Galut, but because Avraham went to this particular place, so therefore it was destined for the descendants to go to the same place. Because there are midrashim that say that because Avram went down to Egypt and Sarah was saved and the house of Pharaoh was struck with plagues, so therefore ma'aseh avot siman lebanim, the Ramban himself says this, therefore in the future that when the Jews will go down to Egypt, they will be saved and Pharaoh's house will be struck with plagues. But nonetheless, the Ramban in this particular context is not saying this in a very nice way. He is attacking Avraham, which, by the way, is maybe to some of you is remarkable, but he does this, to the best of my knowledge, without any other sources, simply by reading the text. He does not like the way that Avraham behaves, and he feels that Avraham was wrong over here, and he does not hold back. Yes?
Going back to the first section, where it says, "Bow down to the parents of
Avraham." Right. Okay, I'm not dealing with anyone's guilt today, they leave or not. What I'll try to do for the rest of the class is to deal with the halakha, but the question comes up, is one permitted to leave the land of Israel? Okay, we can talk about financial situations, we could talk about military situations, we can talk about all kinds of things, but is one allowed to leave the land of Israel? The Ramban, as we see, was not really in favor of leaving. The Ramban himself was most certainly what you would call today a Zionist, or unless you think it's a really bad thing, then maybe he wasn't. The Ramban himself did live in the land of Israel. It's true he was exiled from the land that he lived in, but presumably he could have gone to other places. But instead, he took that as an opportunity in order to come to Israel. And he spent the last years of his life, including, if I'm not mistaken, his commentary on the Torah here, this one, was written while he was in the land of Israel. But for the Ramban, this is a very well-developed, very clear system of thought. And what we really need to understand today is two things, which are interrelated. One is there a prohibition against leaving? And the second would be, why would there be a prohibition? As I said, they're obviously interrelated, but they really are independent topics. In source number three, which is the Ramban's commentary on the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvot. Now, let me say that again in English. The Rambam wrote a book of mitzvot. One of the mitzvot, again, what is the book of mitzvot? 613 commandments. Now, I have to admit something, that the collection of the mitzvot into 613 is somewhat of an academic process, which means if I give you a job and say count to 613 and go through the Torah, I don't know exactly what number you'll get to, but if you know that you have to get to 613, you will get to 613, but there are some that you will take a couple of mitzvot and throw them together as one, and there are some mitzvot that you will take and count them separately. There are some things that you may not count because you may say, what I'm looking for are a particular mitzvot. Without getting into anything else, and certainly I don't want to get into apologetics right now, the Rambam, in his 613, does not include the prohibition of leaving Israel, and for that matter, he doesn't include the obligation of living in Israel. Now, some can claim and say that according to the Rambam, this is what we would call a general mitzvah, an uber mitzvah. This is something which is just so basic, and there are so many other mitzvot that would be counted. Just for example, all the mitzvot at Tliot Ba'aretz, you can't get to any of those mitzvot if you're living in Wisconsin, right? Even if you have a farm. You can't do the mitzvot at Tliot Ba'aretz, the mitzvot which are dependent upon the land of Israel. So therefore, it may be, according to the Rambam, that it's not the kind of thing that he counted. But as I said, this is the topic that is debated between the commentaries on the Sefer HaMitzvot, to try to figure out why it's not included and what the Rambam was trying to tell us. Some people come to the conclusion, therefore, that there's no mitzvah today to live in the land of Israel, or for that matter, there was never a mitzvah. The problem with that is, aside from reading the Torah, would be reading Navi, and which they try to avoid in many Jewish schools. But if you actually read these things, then you may come to the conclusion that God pretty much really did feel that this is the place that we're supposed to be. And if you recall on Tisha B'Av, I spoke about this a little bit, that it's also quite clear that being outside the land of Israel is a punishment, and that's how it's perceived.
How many of the mitzvot, part of the prayer mitzvot, are mitzvot that are not living here?
Yes.
It's obvious that living here is a given.
I won't argue with you. I'm just saying the Rambam happens not to count it. The Ramban, at the end of the book, first of all, he has a running commentary on the mitzvot that the Rambam does pick. At the very end of the book, he has a list of mitzvot that the Rambam forgot about or neglected to add in, and he says, no, these are mitzvot. One of those mitzvot that he adds is, if you see the headline on number 3, Hasagot Ramban L'Sefer HaMitzvot Shichachat Ha'asin. The mitzvot asay, the positive commandments that were forgotten, and this one is number 4. Mitzvah revi'ich and itztaveinu l'reshet ha'aretz. Asher natana keli perach v'talei levoteinu l'avraham Yitzchak l'Yaakov. One of the commandments is to live in the land of Israel. Now listen to the way that Ramban continues to describe the mitzvah. V'lo na'azva b'yad zulateinu min ha'umot o l'shamama. And not to leave it into hands of other countries or to leave it desolate. Which means he's saying there's a mitzvah to live there, which means not to give it over to someone else. We're not going to speak of any politics today one way or the other, but the Ramban, I think, is quite clear what he says here. He continues and he says, V'chein acharei lazov et ha'aretz, l'chvosh lahem et eretz shinar, or eretz ashur, v'zulotam min ha'makomot einam rishaim. Once the land of Israel is captured, can Israel now say, okay, now I'm going to capture a foreign land, and this will be it? No. Which means, this is the land. Which means, could a Uganda plan work? No. I actually, many years ago, I was invited to speak in Kenya, in Nairobi. And lo and behold, I found out when I was there that the part of Uganda that was supposed to be Israel was Kenya. Later on became Kenya. Kenya is not that old of a country. And that means we all could have been in Nairobi right now. But one of the things that was amazing is that I met, there were a lot of Israelis there, which shouldn't surprise you. But there were also a whole bunch of people who've been there for a number of generations. So I questioned a little bit, and I found out that the first two people who, by the way, and they thought this was some kind of biblically great thing, the first two people were a couple named Abraham and Sarah, and they came there because they had inside information on Herzl's speech. And they went there and started buying up all the land, and they became very, very wealthy people, but they're still there. Anyway, at that point, I was actually offered to become chief rabbi of Kenya and Central Africa. And after a very, very short discussion, I turned it down. And one of the considerations was because of the kids' education. Had I known how bad the schools are here, then maybe I would have reconsidered. Anyway, I think it would have looked very good on a former chief rabbi, whatever. Yeah, anyway. His fourth, he has a whole bunch of them that he adds that the Rambam neglected. This is the fourth one, if you're looking, or if you're counting. The Ramban continues, and he says in the next paragraph, and we're not going to read the whole thing, he writes, Im kein hi mitzvat asei ledorot, mitchayev kol yachid mimenu, v'yafilu bizman galut ki yadu b'talmud mekomot harbeh. And he says, this is a commandment which is not just in biblical times. It's at every single point in history. It's not just a mitzvah on the collective. It's a mitzvah on every individual throughout Jewish history had an obligation to come and live in the land of Israel. I mean, the Ramban, as I said, he says this very, very clearly. He then says at the very end of source 3, the last line on the first page, he talks about the certain rabbis and their love for Israel, that their eyes filled with tears and they tore their clothing and they read from verses and so on. And then he continues and says, Amru, and furthermore it said, Yeshivat Eretz Yisrael Shkula Keneged Kol HaMitzvot Shebet Torah. That living in Israel is equal to the commandment of all other commandments in the Torah, which means the Ramban really does go quite far over here. So if I then had to ask, what would be the rationale, according to the Ramban, why you would not be able to leave? So he seems to be saying, because the land of Israel is this general mitzvah. So now it becomes almost a technical game, as far as he'd be concerned, why the Rambam wouldn't have counted it. He firstly thinks the Rambam should have counted it, but secondly, he does think that it's this general mitzvah, but he didn't quite get to this point of leaving yet. The second thing about the Ramban, which is very often quoted, and maybe somewhat controversial, is what the Ramban claims in his commentary to Dvarim on a verse which you should be familiar with, V'samtem et dvarei eleh, right? Alevavchem, yanafshechem, and so on. He writes, we'll quote where it's underlined, Aval yesh b'midrash hazeh sod amok. He says there's something very, very deep, a deep secret involved in understanding this verse. U'kvar ramasti b'menu, and I've already hinted at it in other places. And he explains as follows. V'hine hichzir b'mitzvot eleh. He says, first of all, there's a technical problem. Why is the Torah repeating mitzvot that we already knew about? Now, if you pay attention to the second parasha of Shema, what is the main issue of the second parasha of Shema? Schar v'onesh. Good. Within which context? Schar v'onesh, which means command, which means reward and punishment. But what's the context of the reward and punishment? It's the land, which means you read through this the rest of the second chapter. What is the schar? It's on a collective level, then you'll have the land. What happens if you get punished? You won't have the land, which means the land of Israel is the issue over here. So he says, why are these laws, like putting on tefillin and others, mentioned again within this context? And that's why he says this is secretive. V'nei hichzir b'mitzvot ha'elu tefillin v'divrei Torah mezuzah. Kan pam shenit lirmoz behekesh hazeh sheniyeh chayavim behem la'achar hagalut b'chutz la'aretz. In order to tell us that if you don't follow God, you will still be obligated to do them in chutz la'aretz. Now, why should the Ramban have to tell us this? Wouldn't you think that, of course, the mitzvot count all over? And he says, u'mehem nilmad the kol mitzvot sheim chovat haguf shechem mechol makom sheniyeh peturim b'chutz la'aretz mechovat hakarak gon trumot ma'asrot. Because maybe I would have thought that if one is outside of the land of Israel, just like you don't do truma and maaser, you may not have to keep any mitzvah. Kachi nidrash b'sifri v'kavanat ha-midrash nesh l'samach v'samtem v'el v'avadatem aval ikar ha-katuv ba'aretz tichtiv l'man yirbu yameichem v'yamei v'neichem al adama o yomer l'man yirbu yameichem shetashuvu v'tarichu bo yamim la'olam. The Ramban may be saying here, this is how people understand it, that really the whole purpose of the mitzvot is when you land of Israel. And what's the purpose of the mitzvot when you're outside the land of Israel? To practice them, so when you come back to the land of Israel, you'll know how to do the mitzvot. Sort of as if saying that why does a kid do mitzvot when they are before their bar or bat mitzvah in order to be used to doing the mitzvot afterwards? That is what the Ramban seems to say over here. So when he said in that previous quote, that living in Israel is equal to all of the other mitzvot, the Ramban may actually be saying much, much more than that, and that is outside the land of Israel, the mitzvot may not even count, more so than just practicing them to keep them in their real context. Whether that's really what the Ramban means or not, I'm not going to say. I don't know. You can debate it. But he seems to go pretty far over here. In source number 5, which is again a commentary of the Ramban on the Torah, and he writes, "Ve'elu ya'alel da'atem lelecho d'chosh eretz shinar or eretz ashur." Again, he comes back to this point. If you would think about conquering other lands, "V'zulatan ulik yashev sham," and to live there, "Ya'avru amitzvat Hashem," you will then be breaking the law of God. Right? "Shifligu rabotinu b'mitzvat yishiv eretz Yisrael v'sha asur letzeit mimena," and that you were not allowed to leave the land. Now, having said all this, one thing we can now conclude: the Ramban, in our language, is a Zionist. The Ramban is a religious Zionist. You want to see an incredible essay that Rabbi Lichtenstein once wrote on the ideology of the Hesder Yeshiva. Just put those words in Google. Hopefully you'll find the article. The ideology of the Hesder Yeshiva. And at the very end, he writes a line, what would the Ramban have given to be a Rosh Yeshiva of a Hesder Yeshiva? And he puts forth Hesder as the ideal of Tamidei Chachamim, who are soldiers. And again, of all of Chazal to pick the Ramban, Rabbi Lichtenstein knows exactly, you know, who to pick and exactly what he's saying. And perhaps he was correct that the Ramban would have seen this in the most wonderful terms. But the Ramban really is quite clear. Living in Israel is a mitzvah. Leaving Israel is a prohibition. Israel has a type of holiness, right, apparently, that the keeping of the mitzvot over here on a completely different level. Okay, so far, yes?
How does he define leaving?
So that's part of what we have to get to. is what exactly is leaving, and I cannot tell you how he defines it, because it's not that clear. But what we can do is we can look in a couple of different Gemarot, because there are a number of Gemarot that deal with this issue, and that's what we'll see. The first is a Gemara in Gittin on Daf Ayin Vav, which causes a little bit of a problem for rabbis in other contexts. The Gemara over here tells us simply a fact. It's Vaha Amar of Safra. Now, it's Vaha Amar is always a question. What the question is a topic that we will not get into today and probably not return to unless for some reason you have a great desire of knowing this. The topic over here, is Akko part of Israel or is Akko not part of Israel? Okay? That's the topic of the Gemara. And the Gemara brings a proof from the following incident. It says, V'homer of Safra, ki havu mifti rabbonin behadadi, that when the rabbis would take leave of one another, Rashi tells us in source 7, just look at Rashi for a moment, and then we'll go back to 6, b'nei medinat hayam, people who lived in other places, apparently Akko would have a port, right? Akko is a port city. So people from medinat hayam, from other places, and it could also be, I'm sorry, it's not only that, it could also be going north as well, going up into what today you would call Lebanon, but he says nonetheless, b'nei medinat hayam, people who live from countries across the sea, shahayu hochim lemot Torah be'eretz Yisrael, who would come and learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael, kishechozrim levateihem, hayu chavireihem b'nei Eretz Yisrael, milavim otam ad Akko, misham niftarim behem. That we would find that people, you know, just like when you have guests that come, right, you're supposed to walk them. How far do you walk them? You know what? Maybe we'll do that next week. We could talk about Avraham accompanying his guests. We could talk about that. But how far exactly are you supposed to walk? And is that really a mitzvah or not a mitzvah? But over here we find that the Chachmei Eretz Israel, the rabbis of Israel, when their colleagues would come from Chutz La'aretz to study, and then they would go back to Chutz. Now, first of all, why are you allowed to leave? Just because you're visiting, who said you're allowed to leave? Once you come here, who said you're allowed to leave? But what are we told over here? That they would accompany them till Akko, and that's as far as they would go. Now, that's what the Gemara is trying to use as proof. And now back in source number 6, but Akko havu miftari, they would take leave from them in Akko. Mishum, why would they take leave from them in Akko? The Gemara now says, mishum de asur litzet mi eretz the chutz la'aretz, because one is not permitted to go from the land of Israel to outside the land of Israel. And look at the way that Rashi says this, and you're all going to catch this Rashi, at the end of source 7, sha'asur levnei eretz Yisrael litzet chutz la'aretz. That B'nai Eretz Yisrael, the residents of Israel, are not permitted to leave the country. Now, hold it a second.
Wait a minute. Beyond Yakko is Yam. It's a sea. I mean, where is it to go?
No, north. No, I'm saying north, 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 north.
But they can.
I understand. I understand, but you can't. But one second. Whether we're talking about a ship or whether we're talking about going north, ignore that for a second. What this tells us is that what Rashi. What apologetics? Rashi is telling you that B'nai Eretz Yisrael are not... First of all, the Gemara. The Gemara, otherwise, is very difficult to understand. The Gemara says, Mishum da asur letzeit me'aretz me'aretz lechutz la'aretz. Now, if the Gemara had that line, this line you can't argue with me, the Gemara says it. What's interesting about Rashi, because you could ask a question. One second, before you tell me... Right. You can then ask a question. Hold it a second. Right. So you can ask a question. If the Gemara here says you can't leave, so then why were these people allowed to leave? And if they're not allowed to leave, then why are we accompanying them and so on? Right. Well, it doesn't exactly. It doesn't. According to this Gemara, Nahari is not part of Israel.
Yeah, but they would be very happy.
It's okay. Azawa isn't either. Let's not even talk about a lot. If somebody comes from Chutz La'aretz to Israel, maybe I'll also talk about one day or 2 day, second day of Chutz La'aretz at some point this year. But if somebody comes from Chutz La'aretz and spends, I'm not talking about an Israeli now, but somebody from Chutz La'aretz comes to Israel and spends one of the Shalosh Regalim in a lot, they should keep 2 days. They should keep 2 days. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about. Should I say it again? If somebody from Chutz La'aretz goes to Eilat for Pesach, they should keep 2 days. That's not me talking. That's Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Rav Yashuv, and a whole bunch, And a whole bunch of other people as well.
So you're saying the vegetables and shvi'i in
the yes. And that's what we do. One second, and that's exactly what we did.
And Yosemite said that if they're not in Eilat, but in a different part of Israel, they should keep on
that. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. But give me a chance. I will say that. What? They can't eat. They can't eat chametz. An Israeli is something else. I said, I'm not. I didn't talk about Israelis.
No,
okay. Maybe. Maybe. Okay, ladies. Ladies.
No, wait, where's the border?
I'm going on. Let's continue. This distinction that Rashi makes over here between residents of Israel and others, which again is somewhat strange, it's echoed by the Maharitz. The Maharitz is Rav Yom Tov ben Moshe Tzahalan. He was born in 1559 and he died around 1638. And he writes, Amnam achari iyun vashkafa filu lomer demay dekatfu atos with a Rambam tzorech lachzor haynu dafka b'misha hayta dirato be'eretz Yisrael huva avotav. Right, except for a couple of reasons, and but he goes on to say, but if somebody just came to visit, then they are allowed to leave. Now, exactly why this distinction would exist is you can take it home later and debate. Now, the Gemara in Gittin, the very very beginning of Gittin, makes a distinction which we're not going to get into detail right now. But between the reliability of the Beit Din in Chutz La'aretz versus Eretz Yisrael, or more specifically, what the certain technicalities and how a get needs to be written, and who could be trusted to be witnesses, and so on, or how we need to establish the witnesses, and the attitude of the Gemara is that we're stricter in Chutz La'aretz, where we may not have a real bona fide Beit Din, versus Israel. So again, if certain chief rabbis are trying to do that today, you can at least realize why they are doing that. That's something which goes all the way back from the time of the Gemara. In source number 9, the Ramban, and we're back to the Ramban again, over here, the Gemara also talks about Akko. What's the status of Akko? V'chi tema shelo kavshu ole bavil, Ha'omer b'shil mesechet k'tuvo, Rav Abba Menashe kipei da'ako, alma kedisha. Now, again, we jumped into this topic in the middle, but the point of the discussion, again, was whether Akko is holy or not holy. So he musters up some good evidence that Akko should be holy. What was his evidence? That when this particular rabbi came to Akko, what did he do when he arrived there? He got down on his knees and he kissed the ground. So obviously, we're dealing with something which is considered to be the part of Israel. Then he goes into something which, again, we're just going to touch right now, and that is something which is called Kedusha Rishona and Kedusha Shnia and Kedusha La'atid Lavo. When Yehoshua came in and captured the land then achieved its holiness. What do I mean by that? 10 minutes before Yehoshua got here, if you had grapes growing, there were no mitzvot hatlurot ba'aretz on those grapes. There was no specific obligation regarding taking trumot ma'aser and any other mitzvot hatlurot ba'aretz on the grapes before entered the land of Israel. Yehoshua, when he came and made it holy. Now the question that comes up then is what happens when the Jews were kicked out after the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed? Some say the Kedusha remained, and some say the Kedusha was then canceled. Those who say the Kedusha was canceled, so then when they came back the second time, then the Kedusha could be reestablished, but it may make a difference at which places they came the first time and which places they came to the second time. Now that's a little bit of the backdrop to what we're going to read right now. It says, Ikla Meimat Sfirulei Kedusha Rishona, I am in source 9, it says that he could say, Ikla Meimar, why would he kiss the land? Ikala Meimar, you may want to say, Sfirulei, he believed, Kedusha Rishona, Kedusha Lashata, Kedusha Latid Lavo, that he believed that Akko, which was captured eventually by Yehoshua, therefore achieved holiness, and even though it wasn't captured during Bayit Sheni, it still has holiness from the first time around. L'fichach hayta chaviva aleihem. And therefore, it was beloved to them. Aval le'in yegitin kevin shelo kafshun. But regarding the laws of a get, where we're told that Akko has the status of chutz la'aretz, that's what the Gemara over here in Gittin said. He said because it wasn't captured during Bayit Sheni, so therefore there was no Jewish community there, which means there was no Beit Din there, which means if somebody wrote a get in chutz la'aretz, it would be treated as if it were a get. Sorry, if somebody wrote a get in Akko, it would be treated as if they wrote a get in chutz la'aretz. So he said, it doesn't make a difference. Even if I say it still has the kedushah, the holiness from the first time around, he's saying the fact that the Gemara in Gittin said that Akko is like chutz la'aretz is because there was no Jewish community there. And therefore the rationale, because there's no court system there, would apply here as well. That's the first attempt that the Ramban has to try to reconcile the status of Akko. And he continues to say, Zavala in Gittin, Kevin Shlok Havshun, Eina Bikiyim Lishma, Velo, Mitzuyan l'kaimed lo shkichi batei din. V'im nami, also you can say, svir lo, look kadsh latid lavo. Or you can say the other way around, that the holiness of the land of Israel was canceled and did not continue l'inyin trimotu ma'asrot. Lo kadsh latid lavo, l'inyin trimotu ma'asrot, chaviva layo da'ika di'amri kedusha shli yesh lehem. The afal pi kain eretz Yisrael b'chaviva hi omedet uvikdusha le'inin yeshivata v'dirata. Now I'm sorry if this last source was a little confusing, but it's this last line that I really wanted to get to. The Ramban just now suggested is that it is quite possible to say that the rabbis over here in the Gemara believe that the land of Akko was captured by Yeshua, had holiness, lost its holiness. What does it mean it lost its holiness? There's no laws of Trumot and Ma'asrot, or what we call Mitzvot HaTliot Ba'aretz. There's no longer Kedusha there. When the Jews came back and turned the Second Commonwealth, they did not get to Akko, so Akko does not have holiness. Nonetheless, the Ramban says, V'afal pikein, that last line, Eretz Yisrael b'chivata hi omedet, uv'kedushata le'inyan yeshivata v'dirata. It nonetheless has its holiness regarding settling there and living there. What did the Ramban just now tell us? And this is important to understand his entire outlook. No, it's not what he said.
No, that if you live there, you're considered living in...
Right, but it's not exactly the way that he said it. What he said is that the holiness of living in Israel, or the fulfillment of the mitzvah of living in Israel, is independent of the mitzvot ha'tliyot ba'aretz. Which means somebody can come and tell me, why is there a mitzvah to live in the land of Israel? So what can I say to them? We'll open up the 613 commandments and start counting how many of them are dependent on the land of Israel. So I can, you know, be like an accountant and say, you know, pragmatically, what is more worthwhile for a Jew? If God commands us to do commandments, and if I live in the land of Israel, I have much more commandments, so therefore a Jew should be obligated to live in the land of Israel, which means you should be obligated to put yourself in a situation to perform commandments, and you should not put yourself in a situation to try to get out of the performance of commandments. If you want to see somebody actually say that, look at source 17 for a moment. So you'll see this is the exact opposite of the Ramban just now said. Source 17 is a comment on source 16. Source 16 talks about leaving the land of Israel. Let's look at it first. What does it say? Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis taught, Ein yotzin me'aretz me'aretz l'chutz la'aretz. You're not supposed to leave the land of Israel. Ela im kein amdu sa'atayim b'sela. Unless the prices are so high, and it gives you a way of figuring out the prices. Amar Shimon Eimatai, when are we talking about? Bezman she'eno motzi likach, bezman she'motzi likach, afilo amdus, and again it goes into financial issues which I don't want to go into. V'chein ha'yuv Shimon Yichai Omer, Elimelech machlan mekilyon gedoli hadar ha'yu, ufarnasei hadar ha'yu, mnei ma nenshu, v'mnei she'yatsu mi'eretz l'chutz la'aretz, shenemar, and so on. So over here we have the Gemara saying one should not leave, but if it becomes a situation where there really is famine, where the situation is so bad where there's no food, it comes to a point that one's allowed to leave, From reading the Gemara here, we will not understand what exactly that economic situation is, but it does go on to say that even certain people that did leave, things did not work out all that well for them, and I'm sure all of you appreciate and were aware of that example beforehand. Commenting on that Gemara, the Rashbam, now again, to keep in mind who the Rashbam is, he is one of the Balei HaTosfot, in its larger sense, but more technically or more specifically, he is Rashi's grandson. He had a very famous brother. His brother is Rabbeinu Tam. The Rashbam on his, and also in Baba Batra, Rashi does not have a commentary, to, at least in the published editions, to the majority of Baba Batra. And instead of Rashi, we have the commentary of the Rashbam. So the Rashbam writes, "Ein Yotzin, why can you not leave? Shemafkia atzmo min ha-mitzvot. Because then you've taken yourself out of a situation of doing all of these additional mitzvot." So the Rashbam's rationale why you can't leave the land of Israel is because there are all these additional mitzvot. I'm not sure if the Ramban would agree with him. It could be he would agree as an additional reason, but what did the Ramban tell us? That living in a place in Israel that even doesn't have the status of Kedusha, because for whatever reason it lost the Kedusha, you still are obligated to live there, because you can still fulfill the commandment of living in the land of Israel. So as far as the Ramban is concerned, living in the land of Israel is a mitzvah independent of the mitzvot which are there. And by the way, just to go back to the beginning for a second, and why, you know, sometimes we play games a little bit, and we talk about the avot, we're obligated to do commandments and so on. The Ramban's attack on Avraham is not due to an imaginary fulfillment of the patriarchs to the commandments. What bothered the Ramban? God said, this is a commandment to him to go to this place, which means his leaving the lands of Israel was going against God's command to him to go to this particular land. As far as the Ramban is concerned, there is a command on every single Jew to live in the land of Israel, and that command is independent of the fact that there are additional mitzvot there, which means, would the Ramban say, and if you leave the land of Israel and you leave the opportunity to do a mitzvot, is that a bad thing? I'm sure he would agree it's a bad thing, but he doesn't need that. Because as far as the Ramban is concerned, God said to the Jews, go to the land of Israel. To leave the land of Israel would indeed be a problem. But over here, we do find something which is interesting, and that is that the Gemara began to tell us that there can be situations that one can leave based upon economic considerations, but instead of jumping to there, I'd like to instead go to a Gemara in source number 10. This is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. A lot of Avodah Zarah deals with interaction between Jews and non-Jews, and when is that interaction allowed or not allowed? Because, for example, if you go and buy in a store of an idolater the day before his holiday, maybe you're aiding and abetting him to buy idols or things to serve as idols, and you're aiding and abetting idolatry. So the Gemara does have certain laws, sensitivities, in order to stay away from aiding and abetting or maybe even being involved in idolatry. So over here, the Gemara says, V'hatanya, we learned in a Braita, which, again, the way it's phrased, I mean, it's contradicting what was taught beforehand. Holchin li original v'dei chachavim, you are allowed to go to a fair which is being run by idolaters. Which means if you're allowed to go to Chutz La'aretz and you get to India, are you allowed to buy things there because you're supporting idolaters? So he says, first of all, you're allowed to go to a fair, which means a public place, and to buy things. V'lochimehem behema, avadim ushvachot. You're allowed to purchase objects from them. Batim v'sadot v'chramim. Not only that, you can write contracts, and there are times you can even go to their court system in order to implement the contracts. Because in that way you're saving your money from their hands. There may be a problem to go to a non-Jewish court system for a Jew, but for a Jew to take an idolater to the non-Jewish court system, that is saying it's okay. So then it brings up another problem. And this, by the way, is more serious of a problem than you may have realized. V'imaya kohen. So what's the problem if he's a kohen? The Gemara says, metame v'chutz la'aretz, ladun ul'er imahem. He says he's allowed to defile himself. Now, why exactly would it be considered to be defiling oneself to go to chutz la'aretz? So let's go back a second. Does anybody know why you put up a tombstone? To know that somebody's buried there. That's why you put up a tombstone. So the Kohen won't go into the wrong place. Now, it's assumed in the Gemara that in Chutz La'aretz, people really don't care all that much. And you know what? That's not such a bad assumption. My father once told me that there was a study, and the vast majority of monasteries that were excavated from the Middle Ages, at the bottom of the wells, they found all kinds of fetuses. More often than not, nuns that gotten pregnant and threw the fetuses by the bottom of the wells. And this is a universal, practically, which also comes to tell you that certain lifestyles don't necessarily work out all that well. But this was the norm. This was, and that may have caused the black plague. I mean, this was the norm and not the exception to the rule. There's a general assumption in the Gemara that in Chutz La'aretz, people don't really care all that much about how people are buried, and therefore a Kohen to go to Chutz La'aretz may be problematic. But over here, it's not a problem of him going to a place which is definitely he will become Tameh, but there is what we would call a safek, that it's possible that he will become Tameh. So the Gemara over here says, "Metameh b'chutz la'aretz ladun la'eri mahem," that a Kohen is allowed to put himself into this questionable situation if he wants to save his money. If there is a reason for him to go there, ukeshem shematameh b'chutz la'aretz, and just as he's allowed to defile himself by going to chutz la'aretz, kach metameh b'beit hakfarot. Similarly, a kohen's allowed to defile himself by going to a cemetery. Now, don't fall asleep or walk out right now, because the Gemara says, "What in the world are you talking about?" It says b'beit hakfarot sal kadaitach. Am I supposed to believe literally in a cemetery a kohen can go? Tuma deraitahi. That's a case of tuma. Right, to be defiled on a Torah level. What else does that tell you from the question? That when it talked about Chutz La'aretz, it was on a rabbinic level. Ella Beit HaPras Drabanan. It's talking about an area where, which means like sort of a field where we have a suspicion that somebody may be buried there, but we don't know exactly what's going on. There a Kohen can go in. Why can the Kohen go in there? Because there's a question mark, which means all things being equal, he shouldn't go through there. But if there's a reason for him to go through there, it may be allowed, right? Mitameh limotor ulisa isha. Then he's allowed to, quote-unquote, mitameh, but again, the mitameh here is on a rabbinic level, and he's allowed to do that for two reasons that it gives here. One is to learn Torah, and the other is to get married. Amar v'yuda eimatai b'zman she'ein motzi l'lmod, avu b'zman she'motzi l'lmod ein mitameh. And that's only when he can't find somebody to learn with in Israel. But if he can find someone to learn with in Israel, then he can't. That not everybody can learn with everybody. Sometimes you need other things to be able to succeed in learning with someone. And there's once a story of a fellow named Yossi HaKohen who went to Chutz La'aretz Letzidon to learn Torah with his teacher. Now, what did this Gemara do for us? It talked about going to Chutz La'aretz. It was not talking about everybody, it was talking about a Kohen. We could then begin to guess, so what would be the status of other people who are not Kohanim, but over here we learned that even a Kohen, I'm going to use that word even now, that even a Kohen can go, but when can a Kohen leave the country? And if any of your families are Kohanim, this is not so simple, because the conclusion over here is a Kohen can only leave in order if there is a serious business issue over here, where he may lose otherwise, or talking about a case of studying Torah, or in order to find a spouse. And if you're married to a Kohen, that third one does not apply. Right? The Rambam in Source 11 codifies this law. Mutar l'kohen l'tameh b'beit ha'pras, o b'chutz la'aretz, l'dvar mitzvah, b'zman she'ein sham derech elahi. Kigun shalach lisa isha ulamot Torah, which means he says that a Kohen is allowed to go to Chutz La'aretz only in the fulfillment of a mitzvah. If the Kohen is not fulfilling a mitzvah, he cannot go to Chutz La'aretz. That is halacha. If you want to bother any Kohenim that you know, can a Kohen go on a cruise?
What about the money?
So it's interesting that does not really appear over here. The Rambam does they'll continue and give some other rationales. I would then include that possibly within a mitzvah, and that does become a question among the Achronim whether making a living is also considered to be a mitzvah. But instead of getting to the question of the mitzvah, I will raise the question of can a Kohen go on a leisurely vacation to Chutz La'aretz. So it seems to be, both from the Gemara and as codified from the Rambam, that the answer is no, cannot. It's possible you can go on a cruise. As long as it doesn't get off the boat, right? Because a cruise may be allowed, but other things, it's very difficult to understand how a Kohen would be allowed to do this. And you know that when I talk about this by Shalashudas, I'm going to give certain people very, very upset. Okay. Which is most of the fun of this. In source number 12... No, I'm not a Kohen. My father's not even a Kohen. Anyway. Tosfot, in source number 12, when he writes about Lumal Torah Lisa Isha, he writes, Pirush Vitator Lechzor Le'eret Yisrael. That's only talking about a case where he has in mind to return to the land of Israel. But if he has no intention of returning, then that would not be allowed. This is only allowed to go out. Now, I'm not sure, although it's the Gemara that he's commenting on is the Gemara about the Kohen. So is he only talking about the Kohen, or is he talking generally for all people? That's not clear yet. And he then continues and he writes, where it's underlined, because he brings a case that's not really relevant to a Kohen. V'dafka behinach mitzvot shehim chashuvot l'mo Torah shagadol shagadol Torah Talmud Torah shemevil de ma'aseh v'isha midichtiv lo tahu b're'ah filu l'shar mitzvot lo aval l'shar mitzvot lo. The Tosfot says over here that these two mitzvot are the only mitzvot that we're talking about, because these also are very, very big mitzvot. Learning Torah will impact how you live your whole life. Having a spouse who's appropriate will affect major things in your life. But if somebody says to you, according to Tosfot, I have an opportunity for you to be a sandak, you just have the right to hold the baby during the Brit Milah, he would say, well, no, that's a one-time limited to be mulf. There's no one else. But still, he seems to say that a Kohen should not go. Not even a Kohen. It's not clear if he's talking about everybody, but it says one should not go if it's not for a mitzvah. And then he quotes someone who argues with him, the She'iltot. Avabla She'iltot, the Rav Acha, Meforesh Hanach Dekeli, V'kol Shkein L'Shar Mitzvot Shehim Chashivot. He's a certainly more important mitzvot, and one can conjure up other mitzvot, which could be life and death mitzvot, or other kind of mitzvot, which are very significant. And he says certainly for other mitzvot, one can go to Chutz La'aretz, and this is just an example. So we do have a difference of opinion over here. The Gemara that he quoted in the middle was source 13. Source 13 is the main place that the Gemara speaks about the significance of living in the land of Israel. Ahu gavra d'nafala yevama be'chuza. There was a man whose brother passed away and died without children. So then there's a law of either doing yibum or chalitza. So atal kamedra of chanina. And he came to Rav Chanina, Amarlei, and he says, what should I do? Mahu l'michet ula yivama. So he says, you know, what should I do in order regarding this case? Amarlei, achiv nasa kutit v'met. Baruch hamakom shehargo. For who yarad acharav? His brother went and married a non-Jewish woman. And again, this story is not so simple. Thank God he died. You're going to go afterwards. Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, Kishem Shasur Letzeit Mi Eretz Yisrael LeBavel, Kach Asur Letzeit Mi Bavel LeShar Eretzot. Rav Yehuda, who has a number of these comments in the Gemara, says just like you can't leave Israel to any other country, you also can't leave Bavel, which may give us a completely different reason for this. Now, the Rambam, in source number 14, is not talking about a Kohen. And by the way, this is the same Rambam that certain people note that he didn't write living in the land of Israel as a mitzvah, so maybe he didn't believe it's a mitzvah. Let's look what the Rambam writes in source 14. Asur letzeit mi eretz Yisrael lechutz la'aretz le'olam. One second, was that clear enough? One is not allowed to ever leave the land of Israel. Ela lumot Torah ulusa isha, o lehatzil min akum, v'yachzor la'aretz. V'yachzir la'akum also seems to be, could be money as well. And then what happens afterwards? You got to come back. V'chein yotzehu l'schora. You're also allowed to leave for business. Aval lishkon b'chutz la'aretz. But to reside there, asur. Ela imkein chazak sham hara'av. Unless there's a famine. Ad shenes ha'shavad dinah chitin v'shnei dinarim. Until the price goes like that. B'med v'amurim k'shayu ma'ot mitzuyot. V'aperot b'yoker. Aval ima perot b'zol. But if even though the price, you can still get fruits, meaning there's some kind of food you can get to exist on. V'lo yimtza ma'od v'lo b'me yistaker v'avda pruta min akiz. Yatza l'kol makom shiyimtza bo revach. V'afa pisha mutar latzeit eina midat chasidut. Even though you're allowed to leave, it's still not considered to be a very good behavior. And then he quotes about machlon and chilion. Next, he quotes about the gdolei chachamim kissing the land of Israel. Yud Aleph, Amru Chachamim, Kol HaShechein V'Eretz Yisrael, Avonotav Mocholin, and so on. The Rambam seems to really be quite clear on this, that living in Israel is a quite positive thing, and he says that one is not allowed to leave. So whether he says it's a mitzvah to move there or not, I can't tell you, but he does certainly say...
Where was he when he wrote this?
He was in Egypt.
Not in Israel.
There's a lot of discussion regarding the Rambam. There's a whole other discussion, you're allowed to live in Egypt, because there's a specific verse about not moving back there. And in source the last halacha there, halacha yud bet, la'olam yadur adam be'eretz Yisrael, a person should live in the land of Israel. So again, I don't know exactly how people say, according to the Rambam, it's not really a mitzvah. He maybe doesn't use the word mitzvah, but he says that's what you should do. He even quotes the Gemara when he says, afilu be'ir sheruba akum, even in a city which is predominantly idolatrous, v'al yadur b'chutz la'aretz afilu be'ir sheruba Yisrael, and even it's better to live in the least religious city in Israel rather than living in Borough Park, Muncie, Flatbush, Lakewood. If you want, we can go down the list. That's what he says over here. Shekol yotzei l'chutz la'aretz ke'ilu oved avodah zarah, and whoever leaves the land of Israel is if he's guilty of idolatry. Shenemar, and he quotes the whole pasuk over here, and so on, but you get his gist. Kishem shasor l'tzeit mi'aretz l'chutz la'aretz kachasor l'tzeit mi'bavel l'sha'aretzot, and he does quote this Gemara about leaving Bavel as well, so that also seems to need to be explained. The Me'iri in source 15, because that's where the center of Judaism was.
Somebody can say later.
Correct. And you're right. And correct, and you can read source 15. But still, he says, better to live in a non-religious place in Israel than to live in that place. I mean, he said that as well. You can't quote one part without the other. The Me'iri says, La'ol midor adam be'eret Yisrael afil be'ir sheruba goyim v'lo yadur b'chutz la'aretz af be'ir sherabai Yisrael. And then along the line, he quotes... Again, where it's underlined, ukeshem shasur letzeit mi'eretz Yisrael lechutz la'aretz, kach asur letzeit mi'bavel l'sha'aretz zot, shekol makom shechachma v'yirat chet mitzuyen sham dino ke'eretz Yisrael. So this is really quite impressive that the Me'iri, right? He says that, correct? Ukemo she'amru kol hadar be'bavel ki'ilu dar be'eretz Yisrael, shekol ma she'amru lo amru elu b'nei she'stam chutz la'aretz ein chachma v'yirat chet mitzuyen ba, Yisrael l'rov hatzarot v'al ha'galiyot she'sovlim sham elim kein ayidei amal gadol v'tzar gilgul sevel hatzarot v'tyayesh mehem l'avodat Hashem l'sridim asher Hashem karev v'stam eretz Yisrael chachma v'yirat chet mitzuyin ba ad she'mitkavin. So he says that he seems to be taking the whole law over here and turning into some kind of a pragmatic approach by saying that the reason you have to live in Israel is because it seems to have so much wisdom and so on, although I think one can still argue with him, because the Gemara, what did it say? You should live in Israel, even in a city, which is predominantly idolatrous. So it seems to be that the land of Israel has an innate holiness and not just this pragmatic approach. The Maharitz, who I quoted earlier, look on page 3 for a moment. There's a long paragraph there where there's one part which is underlined. And he gives a philosophical reason to live in Israel. He writes, "V'imken kevin shekain shatama dira be'eretz Yisrael hum b'nei sheyitbarach shemo mashgiach yoter bipratut." Should I say that in English?
Yes.
He says there's more hashkacha pratit. Okay, I'll say that in English. He says in Israel there is God micromanages, and there is more direct connection with God in Israel, and that's why. He's saying that to speak to... He is saying that... Okay, one second. I'll explain this in a second. When you pray in Chutz La'aretz, a lot of the Balei Machshava Mukobalim say, when you pray in Chutz La'aretz, where do you face?
Yerushalayim.
To Yerushalayim. So what happens to the tefillot? They travel this way, They get to the Makom Mikdash, and then they go up into heaven, which means what you have is a long-distance call, and then it goes up. But what he says is that when you pray in Israel, you have a local call. Because by Israel, it's this is where the Hashkacha is. So again, the Maharitz, as I said, this is a philosophical rationale, but he uses this to explain. This is within the same context of explaining that you can't leave Israel. He says, why can't you leave Israel? Because God is more intimately related. And in Chutz La'aretz, what you have is what you would call Hester Panim. That it's God is a little bit more hidden, and therefore a Jew should live in a place that they have more of a direct connection to God rather than to live in a place where there is less of a connection.
That's the way you can explain the Holocaust.
You certainly can. Okay. Now, there's one place, as far as I can think off the top of my head, because there's a couple places that are not as clear, that this whole discussion entered into the Shulchan Aruch. Let me give you the context, and then we'll see how far we can go with this. The context is Chol HaMoed. Are you allowed to get a haircut or shave on Chol HaMoed? So the answer is no. Why? So the answer is because of kavod for the chag, that we don't want you to push something off that you should do before the chag to respect the chag and push it off to Chol HaMoed. Therefore, the Chachamim made a rabbinic law that you can't do these things on Chol HaMoed because otherwise you'll have a lack of respect for the holiday. The holiday comes in, one should be properly prepared for the holiday beforehand. Which next one? Hair should not grow back so long. Shaving becomes a very interesting question because in a context where somebody shaves every day, you get to an absurd situation where somebody who shaves Erev Chag will then by the second Chag will look like they're in the middle of Shiva, Chas V'Shalom. So there are certain rabbis, including Rav Soloveitchik, who would say that one is obligated to shave during Chol HaMoed for this very same reason. Source 19. Ve'elu Megalchin B'Moed. Here, these are the people that are allowed to get a haircut, or to shave, if you will, for the moed. Mishi yatsami beit hashivya, somebody who was captured, they were in prison, right? You got out of prison, so if you get out of prison, you could not, right? If theoretically, if Gilad Shalit is released, Erev Pesach, and he didn't have a chance to shave before Pesach, would the rabbi say, listen, you can't, no, one can certainly shave on Chol HaMoed. Right? He didn't have a chance because he just got out. Shivya means that he was captured. Beit Asurim means he was in prison. Even if he was in a Jewish prison, who would have let him theoretically? Somebody who was excommunicated. They canceled excommunication. That means he made a vow that he wasn't going to shave, and then he can't, they had the vow canceled. Also somebody came from overseas in Chol HaMoed. O Shaba be'erev haregel, or somebody arrived right before the regel, which means the first case was somebody arrived on Chol HaMoed from overseas. In this context, it would be the boat. You can't always plan a boat when it's going to show up. The boat shows up in Chol HaMoed, or it showed up on Erev Chag and it just wasn't time. V'lo haya shahut b'yom legaleich. But then he adds in one last phrase. As long as the reason that you left wasn't just to go on a teal. Now, why not? Well, tealim are very nice. Why? So because of this teal, the commentaries discuss around this that the problem is that he left the land of Israel without proper permission, which means if he had gone to find a wife, if he had gone in order to learn Torah and then came back, that would be okay. But because he came back, litayel after litayel, and by the way, this is not talking about a Kohen, at least according to most people. The Rush, in source number 18, Abamidiyat Hayam, Banit Lokar Yehuda, Tanya of Yehuda, Omar Habamit Yam, Lo Yigalev Meshiyatza, Shelo Berishut. The Gemara says very specifically, Rabbi Yehuda said, that if you came back from overseas on Chol HaMoed, you cannot shave. Why? Shelo Yatza Berishut, because he went without permission. Amar Rava Lashut Divrei Kol Asur Lagaleach. What does Lashut mean? You went on a sail. You did go on that cruise. You go on the cruise and then you come back and you didn't have a chance to cut your hair beforehand. So he says, no, then absolutely everybody agrees that that person cannot. Why? Because it was not proper for him to leave. Limizonot, if he went to get food, the divriya kol mutar. Ki pligi laharvacha. The argument is not that he needed food, but he went to make a lot of money. He went to get rich, which is not the same thing as because he had no food, which means if you're hungry and you can't eat in Israel and you go to work in order to bring back because you can't eat, that's one thing. But just to get rich is something else. Rabbi Yehuda Medama Lo Lashot, Rabbi Yehuda said that if you went in order to get rich, that's like going just on a pleasure trip. Rabbi Medama Lo Mizona, Rabbi says, no, that should be more like going for food. If you're going for food, everyone says it's allowed. And how exactly Rabbi Yehuda can say that's also not without permission. And so on. So he goes and he quotes this whole Yerushalmi, but he comes to the conclusion that you were not allowed to leave the country because he went just on a pleasure trip. Somebody went on a teal, was not allowed to leave, and because they're not allowed to leave, that would... What? You know, right. Wouldn't leave. The Gra ends up saying he disagrees with the Rush because he thinks he misquoted the Yerushalmi, and he ends up saying that, look where it's underlined towards the bottom of source 21, he says there's some say no, it wasn't that you're not allowed to go, he's not punished because he went to Chutz La'aretz. Why is he punished? Because he did a foolhardy thing. Just consider, in the time of the Gemara, to get on a boat for pleasure is a stupid thing to do. Why? 25% of the boats never came back. Okay, 25. That's the reason that if you would go over the sea, you would say Birchat HaGomel afterwards. You say Birchat HaGomel if you're in a life and death situation, which you're saved from. Today, I can't bring myself to say Birchat HaGomel when I get in a plane. Some people say, oh, you're going over the sea, so it's the same thing. In those days, to go over the sea, 25% did not make it back alive. So over here, the Gemara is saying it could be that the reason why the guy can't shave afterwards is not because it's asur to go to Chutz La'aretz, but rather because the guy put himself in a stupid situation, in a dangerous situation, by getting in a boat in the first place. And there needs to be enough of a rationale to do that. Okay, that was, again, in my mind, interesting. Let me read you a couple of Piskei Halakha, and we'll stop with this. Source 22 of Avad Yosef, question. Haim mutar l'toshav Eretz Yisrael l'tzeit l'chutz la'aretz l'schora or l'tayel amunat l'chzor achar kach l'Eretz Yisrael. Can a resident of Israel go to Chutz La'aretz for business or just on a tour and then return? He writes, mutar l'tzeit mi'Eretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz l'tzorech parnasa l'schora. You can go in order to make a living. U'bulvad shi amunat l'chzor l'Eretz behekdem. And only if you're doing this with in mind that you will come back as soon as you can. But to stay in Chutz La'aretz is prohibited. Continue. Vasur letzeit mi'Eretz Yisrael lechutz la'aretz l'tayel. Afilo manat lechzor l'Eretz Yisrael. Rav Avadya says you're not allowed to go on a teal to Chutz La'aretz. I hope that the people who own all of the Zimmerman in the Golan will appreciate the class today, because hopefully people will vacation in Israel. But Rav Avadya, again, black and white, he said. Yes, don't be upset. Umutar letzeit lechutz la'aretz l'mo Torah l'isa isha manat lechzor l'Eretz Yisrael. You're allowed to go to find a wife or to learn Torah. Again, if you're doing this on condition, you'll come back. V'chein mutar letzeit b'shlichut hamostot harishmiim b'Eretz Yisrael. You can go on an official government, if they're sending you someplace, l'lameh Torah l'vnei Yisrael b'gola, to teach Torah to the people in the diaspora, b'shlichut hamostot harishmiim b'Eretz Yisrael, l'lameh Torah l'vnei Yisrael b'gola, l'lechazakam b'Torah uv'yirat Hashem, V'yafilu im nistayim hazman shehuskam alav im amostot shever tzirah reshaylam sheikh lamei Torah. You're allowed to stay in order to teach Torah. Ulodil Torah ladira. Ad Hashem tzam alei makom atim. V'az yachzor alei tzirah until he finds somebody to replace him. I did cut out, by the way, Rav Avadia goes in the paragraph before this on a rampage against the communities in Chutz La'aretz for staying there. So if you want to see, he goes on a rampage.
Lots of people that have been in America for whatever.
Yes.
Started.
Yes.
Multitudes of decades.
Yes. No. He does allow that to teach Torah that one is permitted to be there for a particular purpose. He did allow that. But the people that are there shouldn't be there. Till somebody replaces you. Right. He doesn't think Jews should be left without any kinds of rabbis either. The source 23, and you're going to like this too much, but I'm being fair today, so we'll quote both sides. The Tzitz Eliezer, Rabbi Waldenberg, he quotes Shilte Giborim, which is a little obscure, not completely obscure, and he says, Ulavi sif nosaf leheter, he finds an additional reason to allow one to go to Chutz La'aretz. Birosh Perik Gimel Dishvot Shesov B'Pshitut De'atziyat Amanat Lashuv Einu B'chal Avira. He said that if you're going and you have a mind to come back, then there's no sin. The whole problem was to leave. But he thinks that if somebody wants to go on a tiyul, for example, he says the Shilto Giron says there's no question whatsoever. There are others who agree with that, including Rav Kook for a non-Kohen. And he thinks that Tosfot said that. I have a very hard time reading that into Tosfot. And Rav Shol Yisraeli, who was also one of the leading rabbis in Israel the last number of decades, he also said that he also quotes the Shilto Giborim and says that there's no prohibition to leave, to just go on a vacation. The prohibition is to leave the land of Israel. And as I said, you've pretty much seen the sources today I think you have a good sense of what they said. Let's just conclude bottom line. According to, this is at least my sikkum from the beginning. Why can't you leave? According to the Rashbam, we saw you can't leave because of the mitzvot of the land of Israel. Others say you can't leave because of the innate holiness. I didn't quote anybody saying that, but the Rugachever claimed that, Rav Yosef Rosen, he claimed because of the innate holiness of Israel. The Meiri, we saw, said because of the richer spiritual life in Israel, but he does allow the possibility of having a rich spiritual life in other places. Even though the Gemara says that you should live in Israel, even in a place which is completely an idolatrous place, but what can explain that? What we saw in the Maritz, that God is closer in the land of Israel. As far as the halacha goes, we saw Rashi say that this only applies to residents of Israel. The Ramban would seem to disagree because he said the obligation to live in Israel applies to all people at all time. It doesn't seem that the Ramban would really make an allowance, would make a difference if you live in the land or you don't live in the land. He seems to say that all people have to live there. Tosfot would say that you can't leave permanently or only temporarily. Tosfot seems to say only for some important mitzvot. He then quoted the She'ilto to saying for any mitzvot. Rav Kook, as I said, for some reason understood Tosfot that you can leave without any mitzvot, and he thought that Tosfot is talking only about a Kohen, which again, you know what, I do understand why he said that, because the Gemara that Tosfot was commenting on was talking about a Kohen, so he says only a Kohen would need the rationale, the justification to leave, but other people can leave even without it. The Rambam would say you need a good reason to be able to leave. Good reason, he starts with mitzvot, but he includes business. As others, the Ravid and the Rush would say you can only leave for a mitzvah, and that is, we saw in the case of the person who goes during Chol HaMoed. The Shulchan Aruch rules like the Rush and comes to the conclusion that the person who was on a tiyul cannot shave because apparently that person did break the halacha. And as we saw of Shol Yisraeli, said that you can leave certainly for business if you want, you're going to come back, but he also believes that you can vacation, which means some would understand the prohibition of leaving the land of Israel, not to visit outside of the country, but to make what you would call today Yerida. I don't come today to Paskin Halacha, tell people what to do, but rather to see that what the Ramban was all upset about over there, he was not only upset with Avraham, he thinks people throughout the generations this Halacha applies to, and therefore if you really enjoyed that Ramban, don't just pick on Avraham, but he believes that that's across the board. But as we see, there is a fair degree of differences of opinion on this. Okay.